And I will share the majority of this message, and then Pastor Ben will finish some additional thoughts for this morning. This message will lead to next week's Sunday service, which is annually devoted to prayer. We're going to pray about the things we're talking about here today, next Sunday. My primary point for this message today is this. New Life's mission is to seek and save the lost through evangelism and teach and grow Christians through discipleship, both locally and around the world globally. That's our mission. I think this message is very important for us today. It is easy to forget the primary purpose for our lives and our church and get distracted by other things. Today, God will give us a reminder of what our Christian priorities are and how our church enables us to pursue those priorities locally and internationally. The primary text of our message this morning, not surprisingly, is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. After Jesus risen from the dead, he told his followers to meet him in Galilee.
When they gathered there, we read what has been called the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus reminded us that he has the full authority of God Almighty over our lives and our church. And with that authority, he tells us what he wants us to do. We have been given a mission to make followers of Jesus Christ to obey all of his commands. Wow, what a tall task. Everything the church does must somehow serve our mission to reach God's chosen people who are still lost and need to be converted with evangelism. And then to teach our church members to fully obey everything that Jesus Christ commanded in the New Testament. That is our mission. And it's a big one. We call this the Great Commission because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Teaching everyone in all nations to obey all the commands of Jesus Christ, that's a big task. The mission to make obedient followers of Jesus Christ all over the world. Finally, we call this the Great Commission because Jesus promised, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Jesus has given us a supernatural task. We don't have the power to convert people to be Christians. God's Spirit must ultimately make people ready to hear the truth about God's offer of forgiveness in the gospel. The supernatural thing. I've been explaining that in some recent messages, haven't I? Likewise, we ultimately do not have the power to make Christians obey Christ. Our part is to accurately and faithfully teach the Word of God, but God must take the truth that is communicated by His Spirit, make it effective in the lives of His people. None of the pastors trust our eloquence on Sunday morning to change your life. We're not that good. All we can do is present the truth of God's Word to you and pray that God's Spirit living in you will help you to trust and obey Christ more. That's the process. And it's a supernatural, miraculous process. This is why Jesus must be with us as we do this supernatural mission. This is why we call this a co-mission. Jesus is not just sending us into the world on our own, but the presence of God's Holy Spirit within us. By that, he goes everywhere with us in this mission. As I'll mention in a minute, Matt and I going to Nepal here in November, Jesus goes with us. You going to your workplaces, reaching out to your workmates, being an example of a Christian in your workplaces and in your neighborhood, Jesus goes with you. That's a supernatural task. You need the Holy Spirit of God to do all those things. Finally, there is a time limit on the Great Commission, isn't there? Jesus called it the end of the age. At some time in the future, people from every nation will have become a Christian at some point in history. At some time in the future, the last chosen but lost Christian will be found. And then the church age will come to an end, and Jesus Christ himself will personally return to this earth. Elsewhere, Jesus put it this way, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. The end of this world as we know it, and Christ's return. Which illustrates the importance of the Great Commission, doesn't it? When the Great Commission is completed, God's purpose for this earth and this world is done. That's the only reason this world is existing right now, is for the completion of the Great Commission. Now, I have no problem telling you that I believe very strongly that what we call the end times will begin soon, relatively soon. Those who have heard my teaching on this topic know that I have very specific and biblical reasons for believing that. Christian, the signs are abundant and unprecedented that the end is near, in my opinion, which is why as a church we want to do all we can to help complete the Great Commission before it's too late, before we're done. And this is why. New Life's mission is to seek and save the lost through evangelism and teach and grow Christians through discipleship, both locally and globally, around the world. Do you see that there are four parts to our mission? First, we basically have two goals: seek and save the lost through evangelism and teach and grow Christians through discipleship. Two goals. Evangelism is the Christian word for communicating the gospel or the good news of God's offer of forgiveness through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Discipleship is the Christian word for the whole process of teaching Christians to become more like Christ and obey him. Again, huge supernatural tasks. Evangelism and discipleship are our two missions. And God wants us to pursue these missions in two places: locally where we live and globally in other places of the world. So first, we can discuss global evangelism and discipleship through New Life. I will have more to say about this during our annual missions campaign in November, but today I will just say this. Over the last several years, New Life has given about $600,000 to support missionaries in India, Nepal, and Costa Rica. Now, just for several years, five, 6 years, we have been supporting 29 full-time missionaries in Nepal. And it's my understanding that they don't have part-time jobs. They are completely full-time in missionary work only because of what New Life Community Church is contributing to their salaries. I talked to Hannah about this earlier this year, and I said, what are they living on? And he said, well, they could use a raise. So even this year, we gave them a raise. I think it was $50 a month. And then Hanak said, you know, we got this unreached area in northern Nepal. It isn't where this flood appeared, but it's another place on the border of Tibet and Nepal. And they haven't heard about gospel Jesus. They haven't heard about Jesus there. We got 16 people that want to go there. Would you support them for 6 months full time to go there and see what can happen? We gave money to that. So that's why it's adding up to 45 full-time missionaries right now in Nepal. It's absolutely supernatural. So in a report earlier this year, Hanok, who leads these missionaries, told me that our missionaries in Nepal have started 1,300 churches in the last 6 years. Now, I've been to these churches, and they average about 80 people in a little hut, you know. That's what a church looks like in Nepal. So don't think of mega churches here. But that's what you have. 13 of them, and there are about 104,000 Christians meeting in those churches. Pastor Onyx says our financial support was essential to this happening. And so I think we can confidently say that $600,000 was a very good investment in obeying and accomplishing Christ's Great Commission in this world. Amen. This November, Matt Huth and I will be spending a couple of weeks in Nepal and India conducting conferences for our missionaries and several hundred pastors there that we are associated with, and some of them we're even supporting. We'll be teaching them the biblical principles and effective process of our Renew counseling ministry. Now, that was the plan, but this week, Hanok told me, Kurt, we want you to teach on the end times again. I said, Hanok, I taught on that 2 years ago. He says, yeah, we want you to teach on it again. We'll see how all that fits in. But it is our hope that teaching them the Renew Ministry principles and process will not only help these Christian leaders be more spiritually healthy themselves, but will give them a tool to help others and disciple others and help them be spiritually healthy as well. So that will definitely need prayer. That's a huge undertaking for Matt and I. So please, we'll be in prayer for that. And that's the first couple of weeks of November that we'll be doing that, if God willing. Hanok said that this flood should not affect that trip. So, obviously, our overseas ministry does not relate to a local building project. We certainly believe God would help us have the money to do both, if that is what he wanted us to do. I personally don't see a conflict between those two things. A decision about a building addition has to do with local ministry, so I want to talk about that next. Local evangelism at New Life. This is where Jesus wants every member of our church involved. I can't take all of you to Nepal with me in November. But responsibility for local evangelism and outreach is on all of us here at New Life Community Church. I want to first say that local evangelism begins in our homes. Let me remind you of that. Earlier this month, my whole family, about 30 of us, went down to Missouri, rented out a house on an acreage, and stayed there for a week. It was an awesome time. And during that time, we baptized my grandson, Colton, in the pond there that was on the acreage. And, you know, as I thought about that, that's the result of months of work that Jeff and Joel have been doing in Colton's life, being an example to him as a Christian, parents, talking to Colton about Jesus Christ for many months. And Jeff and Joel are pursuing the Great Commission in their own family. And that's essential. That's where it has to start. And this is where it must begin for all parents. God wants us to be the best example we can be of a committed Christian to our children. And he wants us to faithfully and repeatedly communicate the good news about Christ to our children. Local evangelism begins in our homes for us as parents. There's another aspect of local evangelism that God wants us all involved in, reaching out to our non-Christian friends, workmates, family members, and neighbors. I understand this can sound intimidating, okay? People are going to be hostile to Christianity or to a Christian, although that's way overrated. I've shared my faith with hundreds of people, probably my 30 years of being a Christian, and especially in campus ministry, I was constantly sharing the gospel with college students. That was my full-time job. And I can think of two people who ever were mad at me for sharing my faith with them. One guy was on a bus, and I was sitting next to him, and he got up and sat in another seat. That's maybe the most offensive thing I've ever encountered. But we have this fear, my goodness, if I bring up my faith or that I'm a Christian, people are going to be mad at me. I can just say in hundreds of encounters, that's only happened I can think of twice. But I want to just give you some simple steps this morning, okay, that you can personally be engaged in so that you can take part in the Great Commission in your personal life. Listen, this Great Commission to reach and teach people in this world is not just for pastors. It's for all Christians. So here's some simple steps. One, write a list of the non-Christians that you want to reach out to. Just think about that. 6 to 10 of them that you want to focus on, okay, that you have a personal relationship with, family members, workmates, unbelievers, non-Christians that you have a relationship with, okay? 6 to 10 of them. Second, this is important, start praying for them at least weekly. I already reminded you, this is a supernatural task. God has to do this. He's not asking you to convert this person to Christianity. He wants to use you, but it's got to be his work. So start praying that God starts doing stuff in their life to draw them closer to God, which might be tragedy, by the way. Third, find a way to let them know you are a committed Christian, that you're a source of information about Christianity and the truth. Tell them you love your church. That'll be true, right? Yeah. You love your church? Tell them about your life group. Tell them about something you learned from a Sunday message or a Bible. Tell them what great preachers you have at your church. Just the fact that your life is different will help them know you're a committed Christian. But it's important to, as we used to say, raise your flag. Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And what that does is some people might be drawn to you and some people might take a step back. That's okay. You got to shine your light a little bit. Some people won't like the light. Fourth, find a way to be kind to them, like praying for them, okay? This is a real easy thing. You see someone struggling, a neighbor, a workmate, family member, you know they're going through a hard time, say, hey, would it be okay if I prayed for you for that? I'll be praying for you for that. And it's just a kind thing that they're doing. And 95% of Americans appreciate prayer and believe that it might possibly have some power. It's a great, just practical thing for you to offer to a non-Christian, to be kind to them. And again, it communicates, hey, this guy knows God. He actually prays to him. Fifth, invite them to meet your Christian friends. This is important. Inviting them to Sunday church might be too much, okay? Have a party, invite some of your life group members, and let them see how Christians love each other. Finally, share the gospel and your testimony with them. Pray for an opportunity to explain the good news about the forgiveness of God and that he offers through what Jesus Christ did for our sins on the cross. And share your own story about how Jesus Christ has changed your life. Very simple things. Now, in the coming months, actually the coming weeks, we want to help our church members become more skilled in these things, okay? Therefore, I'm going to be developing some simple discussion outlines for our life groups during September. You'll see in your bulletin a set of questions that I'm asking all life group leaders to go through this next week in their life groups, talking about evangelism in our own personal life. So, in general, we want to begin this fall with an emphasis on local evangelism in our life groups. It's there that you will find instruction and encouragement for all the basic steps I just mentioned earlier, right in your life groups. You want to do this together. You're not on your own. Even better, there are people throughout our life groups at New Life who have practiced these very things that I just mentioned for many years, have a lot of wisdom about doing it, and a lot of experience, and they're good examples and mentors in these things, and you can benefit from their example. So be ready for these discussions in this next month in our life groups about our personal responsibility to be doing outreach. Now, I want to add something here that's very important. Reaching disconnected Christians at New Life, okay? Besides evangelizing people that still need to become Christians, God also wants us to reach out to what I call disconnected Christians. These are Christians who are not currently in a church or not in a good church. Many of them have, in fact, been hurt by a bad church. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe they've just moved from out of town here and have not yet found a church, which is another challenging place to be a stranger in a town looking for a church. All of these situations are not what God wants. He wants us to help disconnected Christians find a good church at New Life. I believe such disconnected Christians can be included in what Jesus said. Quote, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills or in the church and go and out to search for the sheep that is lost and wandering, not connected? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. Now, many commentators believe this is only talking about disconnected Christians and not even unbelievers. I don't believe that. I think maybe even the primary emphasis here is evangelizing lost sheep. But I think it can also apply to helping wandering sheep who are already saved but not connected to the body of Christ. And there is a lot of wandering sheep in our community, more than you can imagine. They have been hurt by the church. They've had bad experiences, and for all different sorts of reasons, they're just not connected. God wants us to invite them to our church. This is another thing all of us can do. If we meet a Christian who's not going to church or for whatever reason does not like their church, invite them to New Life. What I've talked about so far is about the outreach of our church, bringing people into our church, but that is only half of the Great Commission. So let's talk briefly about local discipleship at New Life, okay? Again, Jesus said, teach these new disciples. The Greek there just simply meaning a student. All Christians are students of Jesus Christ. Teach them to obey all the commands I've given you. Therefore, the second part of the Great Commission is to teach Christians how to be followers of Jesus Christ. We have many ministries for teaching Christians at New Life. These include Bible messages for adults and Bible lessons for our children happening right now on Sunday. Our weekly life groups, our Barnabas groups, Awana program, and Awaken Youth Group on Wednesday nights. Likewise, our Renew Counseling Ministry is a very important strategy for us to teach Christians to obey more of Christ's commands. Even the parents who are homeschooling their children are teaching their children to follow Jesus. Finally, the Paideia Christian Academy that started just this week, hallelujah, is another New Life strategy intended to pursue the Great Commission of teaching people, young and old, to obey all of Christ's commands. We have a lot of strategies going on for discipleship. This morning, I will focus on just Sunday morning teaching for just a moment. This ministry is described in Ephesians. It says, now these are the spiritual gifts for people with special abilities given by God's Spirit to the local church that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers, okay? This is God's plan. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. That's the goal. Mature in the Lord, grown up, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ himself, becoming more like Jesus. We see the goal of Christian discipleship here. all of us becoming mature in the Lord. Or as Jesus said in the Great Commission, we are fully obeying all of Christ's commands. As I taught in my last message here on a Sunday, obeying God's greatest commandments to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the goal. God has very high goals for you, Christian. What is one of God's primary strategies to accomplish this? The teaching ministry of the pastors and teachers that God has given the church. Sunday morning teachings are an important part of God's plan to help us grow as Christians. This is why the pastors devote significant time to studying God's word and developing those messages. So thus far in this message, I've talked about local outreach ministry to evangelize non-Christians and invite disconnected Christians to our Sunday service. And we've talked about one of the primary ways that we're pursuing the local Great Commission by teaching people to obey Christ in our Sunday morning services. So if these ministries were successful, what would that mean for our church? If God used us to see more non-Christians become Christians, or used us to help more wandering, disconnected Christians to find fellowship here, what would happen at New Life? Or how can we increase our ministry to teach God's people God's word in our Sunday morning services? We believe that the best answer to all of these important questions is the goal of a second Sunday service at New Life. This is a specific goal that came out of our recent pastor team retreat. In fact, I would say this is currently the primary practical goal for our church. We have so many good things going on here, strategies at New Life that bless people. We just want to bless more people, and that means growing numerically at New Life Community Church, and more specifically, growing our Sunday morning service here. Now, the sanctuary can only hold so many people. And therefore, in order to grow, we would need to start a second Sunday service. That's the most practical way for that to happen. And this is what we would do if God blesses our efforts to reach more lost non-Christians and disconnected Christians in our community. Start a second Sunday service here. But let me remind us here for a moment, as you think about, listen, I'm praying that each one of you, here, I'm asking you to ask God this, okay? I'm asking you to ask God, God, would you use me to add one person to New Life Korean Church? Whether it's leading someone to Christ or having a disconnected Christian, inviting them to New Life and they become a member, ask God to use you to do that. Wouldn't that be awesome if he did that in the next 6 months, the next year, that he used you? But let me remind us here that God is ultimately in control of how large a church is, okay? Something to remember. God has different purposes for different churches. For accomplishing the Great Commission, there are advantages for both larger and smaller churches. Larger churches tend to be more effective at evangelism, reaching unbelievers. Smaller churches are usually a lot more effective at discipleship, actually helping people spiritually grow. We can be confident that God's unique will for New Life will be accomplished through the people he gives us, okay? Believe that with all your heart, because I do. And that is what really matters. Not how big our church is, but whether or not we accomplish God's unique purpose for our church, and we will have the people we need that God knows we need in order to accomplish our specific purpose that God has given our church. I believe that. Remember, I mentioned earlier that the Great Commission is supernatural work and that we need God's help for it. This perspective is repeated elsewhere in the New Testament. And it's an important reminder that the results of all our ministry ultimately depends on God. Believe me, as a full-time pastor for 30 years now, I've had to believe this, okay? That the results of my ministry ultimately depend on God. The Apostle Paul wrote, and I want you to believe this, we are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. That's only who we are. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. God's the only one that can make things grow, because this is supernatural work. It's not important who does the planting, or who does the watering, or who does the evangelizing, or who does the teaching. It doesn't really matter. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Amen? Again, the visible results of all of our ministry ultimately depends on God. This is what has happened in our international ministry. We gave the money to support the missionaries. Those missionaries did the hard and sacrificial work of preaching the gospel, where in fact it is illegal to convert people to Christianity. You get that? The place in the world where Christianity is growing the fastest is where it's illegal to do so. Hasn't stopped God, has it? It hasn't stopped those missionaries. But God's Spirit is ultimately the one who started 1,300 new churches and has gathered over 1,000 Nepali Christians in those churches just over the last 6 years. That's the work of God, the Holy Spirit, ultimately. God ultimately gets the credit for all of that. We just had the privilege of being used by him to do it, right? Likewise, I believe God ultimately decides who and how many people will be members of New Life, and that number will relate to his unique mission for us. In the past, our size has clearly helped us to be a very good discipling church. For one thing, it's easier for the pastors and people to know one another and be friends in a smaller church. God has a place for smaller church. That's why the vast majority of churches in the world are small, not big. And all of this is very valuable. And this is one reason that New Life is not just our name, but it is what new and old Christians regularly experience here, a new life. That's what we're good at. God changes people's lives in this church. As part of the Great Commission, we want him to continue to do that. It is our desire to help more Christians grow. Therefore, a primary prayer going forward will be asking God to help us go to 2 services in this current building. Now, there are some challenges to that, going to a second service, but we know this is possible. The church that owned this building before us had 4 weekly church services in this building. We do not believe it is financially feasible to increase the size of the sanctuary, which is, again, why the next best step for us is a second Sunday service. Regarding the status of the building addition that we have been considering, we have decided to postpone moving forward on that project for now. To put it simply, the pastoral team is not united in a belief that the estimated $1.3 million price tag will directly and sufficiently help us grow our church or fulfill our primary goals at this time. For example, we can grow to 2 Sunday services without it. Of course, a building addition would probably bless our church in many ways. We're not denying that in any way. But asking our members for that much money needs to be clearly justified. At the beginning of this process, we discussed the possibility that the new school, Paideia, would benefit greatly from this church building addition. Then it would be used practically every day. But over time, it's become more obvious that this will probably not be the case. In fact, God has provided a wonderful facility at another church, King of Kings Lutheran Church, recently built a modern education wing that is hardly being used. It's beautiful. Multi-million-dollar facility. They are glad to have our school there and are not even charging us rent for the space. That is a God thing. That's a God thing. But as a result, having the school here was an important justification for the building addition, at least initially, and that no longer seems to be the case. In regards to this building, we are exploring some remodeling of the kitchen and figuring out how to install a handicap accessible restroom, and we'll keep you updated on those. So, just to wrap up here, we want to thank everyone who was willing to give sacrificially to a building campaign, but we are asking you to do something that is even more important and sacrificial. Help us grow a new life. Be kind to the unbelievers in your life and share the truth with them. Pray for non-Christians in your life and pray that God will bring even disconnected Christians into your life and invite them to come to church with you to New Life. These things require effort, and we believe they are the most important things we can do as a church right now. The primary goal of our church at this time is outreach in our local community and asking God to help us grow into a second Sunday service. Ben?
All right, good morning. Can you hear me? Am I on? All right, some people are nodding their heads. That's good. So, as Kurt said, we're here this morning to essentially tell you 2 things. One is that we are not going to build an addition on our current building right now at this time. And let me say, I know this is a letdown for some of you. I've talked to some of you, you're disappointed. I've talked to other people, you feel relieved. So there's a range of emotion about that. We're praying God gives grace to everyone that needs it. And now on top of that, we're talking about evangelism. We're talking about outreach. And that might feel like quite the change of direction. It's almost like we had steak on the grill and now we're eating lunch meat, you know? If you feel that way, I'm praying for you. I don't want that to be what's true. I don't think that's what's true. So let me say, we could build this gym. But if we did, I think it would be primarily for us right now. And our church would enjoy it for years to come. I know we would do a lot with it. It would be really good. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants to bless us. But we want to make sure our focus and our intention is correct. Let me offer you an analogy about that. I think of wartime. During wartime, if you have a resource, how do you use that resource? It should be primarily for the cause or even exclusively for the cause. You know, that's the idea that I think of. And so when your pastors took a weekend in Cedar Falls to talk about the next 5 years at New Life, we wanted a vision for the church and for the facilities and for everything else that makes sense. We want it to be very, very kingdom-minded. So if we build something or if we do any ministry, the goal, of course, is to spread the kingdom of God far and wide. That's what we want. So we could build an addition. We could use it as a community outreach platform. That is true. But again, we are not in the regular practice of evangelism and community outreach right now. And it would make more sense if we were to go and build. And so, in essence, we don't think that we have $1.3 million worth of reasons to build right now. And we realize that we need to sharpen our focus a little bit before we proceed. So again, the answer is not no. I would love if we did exactly what Kurt is asking, that every one of you invite somebody to church and we double in size. If we have that problem in a year, that's a good problem. We probably need to build at that point. So it's not no, it's just not right now. And hopefully the not right now comes in a hurry. We want building to not just be possible. We want it to feel necessary, and ultimately we want it to feel inevitable. Like, oh my goodness, look at all the ministry we're doing. Now we have to do this thing. And we hope that happens in short order. So I'd like to talk just for a few minutes about pursuing different strategies, not only to grow our church, but also strategies concerning membership and assimilation and even community outreach. So again, as it's been said, our church historically has been known as a place to heal. This is an amazing discipling church. I know a lot of you have experienced that. We have often even called ourselves a hospital church. I can't tell you the amount of disaffected Christians, wounded Christians, etc., that we have acquired in the last several decades. We have helped a lot of people, and that's what God has given us the grace to do. But the question that I personally am praying about for our next season is, how can we become a mission-oriented church? How can we become a sending church, a multiplying church? That's what I want personally. Let me just tell you a story. The first church that I was ever a part of was a church in Madison, Wisconsin called The Vine. That was an evangelical, E-free church in Madison. They were intergenerational. They had a lot of young families. At one time, they had a bustling, like popping college ministry, very similar to New Life. When I think of what I wish New Life would be, it looks a lot like The Vine with just one little tweak. They were very, very good at planting churches. They planted two churches in the time that I was there. And that's literally less than 18 months. And so I've often thought about that. What do they have that we don't, right? It wasn't that they were radically more gifted than us. They simply had this. They had one conviction that I can think of. If I had to distill down what they did that we didn't, it's that they were convinced that God honors the preaching of his word. The gospel goes out, it comes back, and it's fruitful. And so again, as it was shared, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, if we plant, you know, Paul's talking about, I planted the church, Apollos pastured it, but God gave the growth, God watered it, and something grew. And so that's what we want. If God honors the preaching of his word here, then any seeds that we sow, he'll water them, he'll grow them, he'll produce fruit. That's what we want to do. My desire is that we would be convicted of exactly the same. So it's possible, as it's been said, God might give us less growth than we want or different growth, but I am certain he will honor the planting and the watering. He will give growth if we go out. And again, it might be different than we want it, but something will happen. I guarantee it. People are getting saved in Linn County today. I know that's true. We see a few people here every year. I hear about even more people all the time. And how many more people would we reach that would go to church here if we reached out to them first? You know, people are getting saved. People are getting discipled. Why not here? Why not through us? That's what we want. So that's what I want to do. God has put it on my heart to plant more and to water more, and I'm begging him to give us the growth. So I've often thought of the Vine Church, that church in Madison, and it's given me a vision for what's possible and a vision for where I would like us to go. And so there are some things that need acknowledging. Like, we are living in a post-Christian culture. It's harder than ever to share your faith. There's more opposition than ever. We're not experiencing revival that's happening in places like India or Nepal. But it's all a comparison game. We've got it a lot better than other places on earth. We don't live in Europe. You know, I've heard statistics that say there's churches in France that are planting one or two churches a year compared to the 1,300 we heard about. And so obviously we live in a unique context in the United States in 2026. But regardless of the culture or any constraints or anything else, we're commanded to pursue this great commission, as you've already heard. And we can do more to do that. I'm positive of that. I want to encourage you. I want you to join me. I want to join you as we do that. So here's what I know is true for me, and I assume is true for you. I know for me, I'll just speak for me, I could be doing more to share my faith, to engage my neighbors, to love my neighbors, to spread the love of Christ, to reconcile the world to God. Now, New Life, historically, we have not done this as well as we could, but we want to learn how. We want all of us to learn how together, and we're praying that God gives us the wisdom and grace to do this. Now, we have made community efforts, efforts at community outreach in the past, and we've had mixed results. You know, we've offered Renew Ministry to the community, and we've ministered to a lot of disaffected Christians. We've ministered to hundreds of people at dozens of churches, even a few pastors. There are people in this room that have come to New Life because of those efforts. Praise God for that. But for the most part, we have recognized that is not exactly what we want to be doing. We've given hundreds of hours of counseling away for free, and praise God for that. But this on its own, Renew Ministry spreading to other churches, we don't think that's a growth strategy. We don't think that's the best way we can fulfill the Great Commission. What about Central Furniture Rescue? Anybody remember doing that? You know, that was a great time. Yeah, I loved doing that. And it was great, but it took a lot of resources, it took a lot of time, and ultimately it was just not very fruitful. It was a great opportunity to serve the poor. We're glad we could do that, but it was not necessarily a great opportunity for sharing the gospel or even for making friends. Now, there are some in our church, as has been said, that are pursuing community outreach right now. Some people do really well at inviting their neighbors to church, to life group, to just engage in friendship. And we have ministry to the poor right now. Joe and Elena Juergensmeyer, they're not here. They're too busy camping. They're more spiritual than us. They're serving lunch at Mission of Hope. And some of you have taken part with them in that. Praise God for that. And we want to try more things like that. We want to minister to our community and anybody we can find, certainly. But if we have a target demographic, it is young families. And so we are praying, how can we meet more young families, more young people who are either disaffected Christians or potentially new believers? One thing we're praying about in terms of growth strategies, again, is our school, Paideia Christian Academy. That started this Tuesday. Oh my goodness, it's off to a hot start. And I think that this may or may not be one of the biggest things that we do in the next decade. I would love to see what happens in this school. Now, one thing we've done as a school board in the last 6 months is show up to certain conferences. And we've seen schools that are about 3 years ahead of us. There's a very similar model in Davenport. That started with about 20 kids, and then they had 50, and then they had 100, and it doubled the size of their church. And so we're looking at anything and everything that we can pursue to add to our numbers, to increase our evangelism, our outreach, and our ability to disciple others. It could be the school. Maybe one of you has an idea we should go and pursue. We'd love to hear your ideas. So the question that I'm asking in the next season is, how can we serve the community in our own backyard? I'll just tell you some of my own ideas. But again, email me. I want to know your ideas. These are things that I've thought about. How can we build long-term trust with families that are literally blocks away through school partnerships? Novak Elementary is right down the street. Linmar's a little farther. Vernon Middle School is a little farther. I'm going to meet with some YFC guys on Monday, and maybe it's time to finally try to pull the trigger on that. How can we share Christ with kids that are in school and their families? What about doing some sort of seminars? There are people in this room that are skilled to teach about parenting, about marriage, about finances, about mental health. What if you or a team went and offered these things for free at a library once a quarter, once a month? I don't know. These are just ideas, but we should pursue all the ideas that we have. Now, you know, sometimes there's concerts at Low Park. Sometimes we could join community events in Marion. We could set up a table at the farmer's market, offer literature, offer resources, offer free coffee. I don't know what we do, but we should do something. And so, again, all with the goal of, how can we create a stronger presence in our community? How can we mobilize every single one of you And specifically to invite people to church. I saw a statistic recently that said 89% of first-time churchgoers, people that went to church this year, they got there because of a personal invite from somebody that they know. So I would love it if we became known as the church who shows up, the church who's in the community and does more, does anything at all. So I'm asking you to show up. What would that look like for you? I am asking you to plant and water. I'm asking you to pray about God giving growth to your efforts to share the gospel. What can you do where you are with what you have to spread the love of God and the word of God and to fulfill the Great Commission? And again, I want to dedicate as much of my time as I have this fall to this goal. And I need help. I need a team. I want to present ideas to you that maybe you can pursue at a life group level, but I'd love to find things we can do at an all-church level. And let me just say as well, I'm not asking anybody to do more. I know how busy the people in this room are. Everyone here is busy. And many here have made serving at church their absolute priority, the thrill of their life, to be here 3 times a week. So I don't want you to serve at church more. I don't want you to add more things by serving in your community in some kind of way. But I just want us to make a little room for serving as a church and to be serving in the community. Finally, I would love to strengthen New Life's membership and assimilation processes. Right now, we're known as a friendly church. A lot of people show up, they're greeted by literally 15 people, and they walk away feeling like that is the most and friendliest church I've ever been a part of. And obviously, that's very good. We want to continue to do that. That's the purpose of the 2-minute break that we have. We want to encourage people to get out of their seats. We want you to meet somebody that you don't know right now, and we want to continue to be the friendliest church in town. But we want more of our visitors to become members. We can do better at following up with people. And that pathway, I think, looks like this. We've started the dedicated team. We call it the Bridge Team. How do you make a bridge from being a first-time visitor to being a member or a member of a life group? And we want to encourage new people. We want to guide them through being new and get them to the point where they're ready to commit. And I think that's the strongest thing we can do. Again, the strongest thing we can do is a personal invite. If you see somebody at church on a Sunday morning, don't just shake their hand and say, nice to meet you. Ask them if they want to do coffee. Ask them if you can get their phone number. Try to get them to come back. Try to get them to feel very, very welcome and to the next step. So again, the Bridge Team will be meeting in the month of September. I want to meet every month to discuss how we can make our vision more clear and our strategies more efficient. If you're part of that team, you already know who you are. But if you want to be more involved with welcoming new people, again, send me an email. We'd love for you to join the team. So again, our life groups would be a key part of this. We'll share more about that in the coming weeks. But I just want to give a call right now. I'm calling on all of you in some way. Every single one of you in this room can pursue this to some extent. So I'm asking, who wants to do this? Who wants to do their absolute best to fulfill the Great Commission right here where they're at? So I certainly have desires. I don't know where those desires will lead me. I want to try some stuff. I don't know what that's going to look like. It could be as simple as personal invites. It could be as intensive as open-air preaching, door-to-door evangelism. I don't know what I want to try, but I want to partner with you guys, and I want to do something together as a church. And again, we'll see what happens. But I need help to do it, so I'm asking, who will help me? If you have an idea, I'd like to receive your email. If you'd like to participate, I'd like to receive your email. Otherwise, we're asking you, pray about the things we've presented to you today, and consider how you can participate. So that's all I have for you today. Why don't you turn to the person next to you, talk about what you've heard. If you just join me in prayer, and then we'll do the announcements. We just thank you, Father, for this day. We pray every single Sunday that the Spirit would move powerfully, that it would work on us, and that we'd leave changed, we'd leave different. We pray that's true today, specifically in the context of which we're praying. We do want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to love our neighbors, and we'd love to see what you might do. And we do believe that you're gonna honor the preaching of your word. We have that conviction. We want to have that conviction. So we just pray in the coming weeks and months that we could do something that isn't just a flash in the pan. It isn't just something we try and let go of. It becomes a conviction. That's what we want. And we're in a world around us that needs you badly. There are so many people in the world that need the love of Christ and need to escape the wrath of God. And we have the greatest news of all time, and yet we're scared to share it. I think of what Jesus said when he sent his disciples out. He gave probably the best motivational speech of all time. He said, "I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You're dead meat. You're going out there to be absolutely persecuted, to be destroyed." And yet the disciples did it. No matter what faces us, we want to have that attitude that we are willing to go through anything to be able to share the greatest news of all time. And we know that that may never happen to us, but we do want to share in that conviction that this is worth spreading far and wide, and it's our heart's desire to do so. So we just love you. We just commit our service to you, and we ask you to be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.
All right. Well, as we share some announcements with you to close, I hope what you'll see is that almost every Sunday, the announcements we share are principally designed to help us with the kind of discipleship and growth we talked about here this morning. Our desire is that we would know how to obey the commandments that Christ has given us, and so many of our ministries are really designed to help with exactly that. So I hope that some of these are ministry opportunities that you'll invest time in this week and in the coming weeks. We are excited that the school year is upon us. I can't say I'm like personally excited about that. I'm a few years removed from the school year mattering in my house, but it's about all that's going on in some of your houses. And with the school year comes the re-beginning of our Awana and our Awaken programs. And so hopefully you had an opportunity to figure out how you're going to fit that into your Wednesday evening schedules. Those programs will begin this week, and there are some additional details in your bulletin about that. Coming up in a couple of Sundays, we have our Renew Peace Process Seminar. That's not literally going to be on a Sunday. It'll be on a Saturday, I believe, two weekends from now. You've heard Ben Gross and Matt Huther talk about that. Again, the purpose of that time will be to introduce to many of us a tool that we have been using and practicing among our leadership team that just helps us have a crucial conversation. How can we talk about difficult things with somebody else? How can we hear them effectively? And how can we share our own desires effectively with that person? That's a hard thing for us to do sometimes with a spouse, with a friend, somebody we're even estranged with. And so we encourage you to come back and participate in that again 2 weeks from now. Please sign up, and if you need childcare for that day, we'll have it available to you. This Wednesday at 11:30, our seniors, our older folks here at New Life, will be joined by a guest speaker, Sergeant Jennifer Roberts. What is a sergeant going to talk about? Scam and fraud prevention. That sounds like fun. Come on back, 11:30 on Wednesday for that. And then finally, we've got a ministry that half of our church should be engaged with. That's our women's ministry. Renee and Jer are going to come on down and share a couple of thoughts about what's going on this fall. Renee, are you speaking first? Is Jer speaking first? All right, this is your spot right here.
Hey, Renee, do you want to come to Titus 2?
I'm not sure. What's going on?
Well, it's when older women and younger women get together, and the older women teach the younger women how to love their families, their husband, their children, and love God. Are you interested?
I'm not sure. It might be kind of hard to make it. What time does it start?
Well, it starts at 9:30 and only goes till 11. You may be thinking, well, How am I going to get the kids out of the house and eat breakfast? Well, this year we're hoping to have food. I know a lot of you might show up to just about anything if it has food. We will have scones and tea and coffee. And kind of thinking about what Ben was just saying, you can tell a lady instead of saying, oh, come and lay down your cross and die for Jesus, you can say, come to my church. We have tea, coffee, and scones. And then, you know, you'll die for Jesus. But please come and join us. Our first meeting is September 10th, and it goes from September to May. We only meet once a month every second Thursday, and we have a great time. If you're an older woman, come because we need your wisdom. If you're a younger woman, come because there's wisdom.
As far as the teaching's going, we're going to try to dig a little more into the Word. We're going to look at marriage. We're going to look at homemaking and personal development, and we're going to look at connecting, submission, and I look at what my other one was. Trying to dig in and do it differently. We're just going to read a little bit ahead of time, not a whole book. So there's a QR code that's going to come up in the slides afterwards. That's you can sign up that way, or you can sign up in the ACE. There's a link to that. So thank you.
Sign up today.
All right. Thank you, gals. As Kurt advertised, next Sunday morning is Labor Day weekend Sunday, and we invite you back and enjoy some time of prayer. Michelle and I will not personally be here next week. We're flying out on Wednesday. We're going to visit our brand new grandson, who will be born on Thursday down in Houston. So we're looking forward to that. But you know, the two Sundays a year, a Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, we advertise this prayer service. You know, we understand that a morning dedicated to prayer is not what trips everybody's trigger for 30 to 40 minutes. But frankly, it's two of the most important Sundays that we have here at New Life. And we have things that we shared today that we're going to be praying about next Sunday. So please come back with a heart that's turned to God, prepared to join with your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for those things. With that, it sounded like God either greatly agreed or disagreed with everything we talked about today with the thunder. So we're going to send you out. Enjoy the rain. Enjoy the afternoon. We'll see you soon. God bless you.